This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio, live in Vegas. Let's head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. We talked some mixed martial arts there with Greg Hardy in the last segment. Let's get to some boxing conversations. There are some very cool things happening here right now. Bad Left Hook, our friend's great boxing site for SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Will Esko joining us. Will, Matt Perrault, how are you? Oh, he dropped. Okay, sorry. We got to reconnect with him. So we'll see if we can get him on. ESPN reported yesterday that Golden Boy Promotions has given Gennady Golovkin an ultimatum. That ultimatum is today at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, to agree to a money split to their liking. And essentially, it's our way or the highway. And if you do not accept what we want, Daniel Jacobs, the Miracle Man himself, will step in on September the 15th for Mexican Independence Weekend at T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas. It's a much different fight. That's a much different bill and a lot more attention coming for Triple G Canelo too. But money is a big, big issue right now between both sides. Will Esko joining us. Will, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. All right, so what do you make of the ultimatum here? First, it was sort of a saber rattle by Golden Boy and Oscar De La Hoya saying, we're going to talk to Jacobs and not talk to you, Golovkin, if you don't agree to our money split. Golovkin wants 50-50, and now he's got till noon Pacific time today to accept the offer from Golden Boy about the rematch here in September. Does Golovkin have a point? Should it be 50-50 split given the Canelo positive drug test, or is it still all about Canelo and his fan base?
Well, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, I think it's hard to say that Golovkin deserves 50-50 because he just simply doesn't bring the kind of money to the table that someone like Canelo does. You know, from a GGG's perspective, it's all about the principle of the matter, and he feels like because of the failed drug test and a lot of the, or what he would say were dubious circumstances in the first fight, that he's deserving of the 50-50 split. But then him backing off that after he gets stripped by the IBF and De La Hoya threatening to walk away from the negotiating table tells me that it's not strictly about principle for him and that it is a business decision for him as well.
What's interesting...
So with that, yeah,
go ahead, sorry. Well, no, it feels like the negotiation's a little bit odd. Like, you know, if Golden Boy was going to play the hard line of we're going to walk away from the table and talk to Daniel Jacobs, they threatened that publicly, and then they go back to Golovkin again and said, well, see, we're going to do this. And now they put this, you know, made-up deadline on the table, and they're again threatening, if you don't do this, we're going to go and talk to Daniel Jacobs. I mean, it's just kind of like if you're Golovkin, aren't you kind of realizing that Triple G Canelo 2 is really what they want, not fighting Daniel Jacobs?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that would be their preference because even their proposed split of, 57.5%?
Yeah,
I believe.
42.5%.
I mean, even so, that 57.5% of what they'd make in gross revenue for a rematch with Golovkin would probably still be more than, say, an 80-20 split with Daniel Jacobs, which wouldn't be nearly as big a fight. So I think economically, it still makes sense for both sides to make that fight just because there's more money in that pot. But I don't think that they're willing to. I mean, even I personally thought when it looked like Golovkin was up against it and things were going against him, he had a pretty bad week this past week.
Yep.
I thought that they would actually play even more hardball with Golovkin in terms of what they'd offer him in terms of negotiations. But I think this is as good as it gets for Golovkin. And I honestly, I think he'd be foolish not to take this proposed deal.
You mentioned the bye week for Golovkin. Do you believe it was appropriate for the IBF to strip him of his belt?
I actually do think it was appropriate. I mean, once the Canelo fight fell through for May, you know, he did have a mandatory due, and that was something he was aware of. Facing someone like Vanes Martirosyan, it wasn't a fight that anybody asked for. It really served no legitimate purpose except for him to keep busy. There were other much better available contenders that he could have fought. And, you know, Derevchenko was one of them. And you know what I mean? He didn't even fight another middleweight. And the people who even before the Marta Rosen, he was looking to fight Jaime Munguia, who was another junior middleweight. So he wasn't even looking to fight someone in his weight class.
Yeah.
And I think knowing that, and he had an opportunity to negotiate a fight for his mandatory. I mean, IBF is pretty notable for having to be real strict about their mandatory. So I thought it was justified.
If you're Daniel Jacobs today and you're sitting around and Derevchenko is your mandatory opponent for the from the IBF, and you've got the potential to fight Canelo in Vegas, where you've already fought Triple G, you took him the distance, it was sort of a controversial, he thought he may have won that fight, some people think that he may have won that fight over Triple G, ultimately Triple G winning it. What do you do? I mean, do you just sit here and you hope and pray that Canelo comes to you and you take it, or do you potentially fight for a belt with Derevchenko and potentially have a chance to keep building up your name and fight the winner of Triple G Canelo if they ever fight again?
I think he has to hope and get hope for Canelo because, for one, that's a lot bigger money on the table, and it's a much bigger profile. And this is prize fighting. So I think if he were to be able to get a fight with Canelo and potentially win, that makes him a much bigger, even if it doesn't make a much bigger draw, it makes him much more attractive for future potential fights. And he has a lot more earning potential that way. And fighting, like, let's be honest, I mean, Derevchenko, he's got 12 fights under his belt. He's still a relatively unknown commodity. He hasn't fought anybody even on Jacobs' level this far, and he looks good to this point, but who's to say how he'll look when he really steps up in competition? He doesn't bring any real money to the table. So if I was Jacobs, you know, I'd have my fingers crossed for the Canelo fight.
All right, so what's your prediction? We've got about 2 hours plus here until until that deadline hits for Triple G to say yes or no to the 42.5. He wants 50%. They're offering 42.5% of a rematch. Do you think he ultimately takes it?
Well, he most recently he accepted. He said he would take a 55-45 split. They found a middle ground to that. So I think he ultimately takes the 42.5%. I mean, it's just, you're talking about a potential $20 million compared to a $1 million, $2 million alternative. I just think it's just too much money.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. And then September 15th, the rematch would happen here in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. All right, the other big fight, the other big news in the boxing world is Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. That fight has been scheduled. We don't know when it will be as of yet. Joshua opens up as the betting favorite over Deontay Wilder. In terms of big fights, is this the biggest fight of 2018 in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you have an undisputed heavyweight championship fight, that's got to be by far the biggest thing that's going to appeal to casuals. I mean, we haven't had an undisputed heavyweight champion since Lennox Lewis. I believe that was in like 1999 or something. So it's been over 20 years. That's easily the most marketable, easily selling fight there is in boxing right now.
How much is Wilder giving up to go fight in the United Kingdom and not try to hold out for Vegas to fight in the States?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by giving up. I mean, if he risks the fight just to hold on to Vegas, I think he's risking a lot because there's no other real big money fight out there for him at heavyweight. He's obviously risking a lot by going overseas and fighting Joshua in his home turf, where it could be hard to grab a decision, but considering the styles of the fight, that's not a fight that's likely to go the distance anyway. So if he's a real believer in his one punch power, I mean, I guess at some point you got to roll the dice.
Looking at the fight, and we'll have plenty of time to break it down, but does Wilder have the ability to knock out Joshua in your mind?
Yes, I think Wilder has the ability to knock out a horse if he wants to.
Because we've seen Joshua get hit late in rounds and be knocked down in the Klitschko fight. We know he's susceptible to getting clipped. And so you think if Wilder gets one right on the nose, good night potentially for Joshua?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think just as much the inverse. I mean, I think Joshua has a legitimate chance of knocking out Wilder, too. We've seen Wilder in his last fight against Luis Ortiz. he got hurt pretty badly and shaken up there, where it looked like he was close to getting stopped himself before he was allowed to kind of rally back. So I think either one of them, I mean, you're talking about men this size and this kind of physical condition. Either one of them land clean, either one of them can go.
Yeah, and isn't that part of the intrigue to this fight, that both these guys have been taken to deep water, they've been kind of dunked, and they've come back up and been able to recover enough to win fights?
Absolutely, because, I mean, that all adds to the drama of the fight, and knowing that at any moment things could change. I mean, this could potentially be a fight where Josh was outboxing Wilder for 11 and a half rounds, but Wilder lands that one right bomb that just changes everything and just drops them, puts them out. And it can go both ways. And, I mean, the uncertainty in that is where the drama and intrigue really comes from. So people definitely tune in all over the world to watch that.
If you were Wilder, would you try to fight in a smaller venue, or would you be willing to go to the 90,000-seat soccer stadium where it's just ridiculous, like Joshua fought Klitschko?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I think I would actually be more inclined, if I was Wilder, to go overseas, go get the 90,000 stadium, because if he has a real opportunity to build a fan base in Britain by going over there, the fans, the boxing fans over there are super passionate about the sport. And if he were to go dethrone Joshua and do it in real fashion, I think he could really up his global marketing value. Not, I think, would be really big. I mean, Vegas is Vegas. So that's always going to be big. Or even if it was in Brooklyn Barclays Center, that's been a staple in recent years. But I don't think that's any going anywhere. I think he has a real opportunity to make a statement if he were to fight in Wembley Stadium.
Interesting stuff. Will, great stuff. Thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Will Esko, Bad Left Hook, SB Nation's great site covering boxing on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.